I'm not going to go to that church. That church has just got a bunch of hypocrites in it. You'll never see me going there. Maybe you've heard that at some point in your life. Maybe somebody hasn't said it. Maybe you've thought it too. One side of that question is there are people that are just raising it as an excuse not to go to church. That happens. But maybe on the other side of that question, there are people that say, wow, I've been burned by somebody in the church. A pastor, a church member. They're all hypocrites down there. I don't need to go. Why should I go? We're going to explore that question this morning. Actually, I've had that question raised at times, and somebody has mentioned it to me. And it's not an easy one to answer. Because in one sense, what they're saying is true. But how do you answer that question? If Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites? Think about it. If Christianity is true, and we believe it is, I believe it is, why do we have so many hypocrites? What I'm going to be doing over the next year or so, when you have the opportunity to share your faith, it's interesting what they found out. Sometimes we as believers think you have to know the answer to 4,700 questions. That's really not the case at all. There's about 10 questions that are raised time and time again. And maybe a little different twist to the question, but there are about 10 questions you need to be able to answer or to be able to think through and give an answer for the faith that is within you. Paul Little has spoken many places around the world and in the United States, and he's boiled it down to 10 basic questions. And what we're going to do is every now and then between series, I'm going to throw in one of these questions. And so this week we're going to be dealing with this one. Next week is another question that's very legitimate too. How can God allow people to suffer? Why does God allow suffering? That's a good question. That's a hard question. So that's next week. But what we're going to do today is we are going to talk about why so many hypocrites. The series is just a little two-week series called Tough Questions. Tough questions, why so many hypocrites? Now, here's what we're going to do. On your outline, if you'll pull that little sheet out here, I'm going to try and guide you through this. First of all, what I want to do this morning is define the issue. Second thing I want to do is say, well, what did Christ say about hypocrites? And thirdly, what is a biblical response? That's where we're going to go. Three questions and answers that we're going to work through in this. All right. First and foremost, a hypocrite. On your outline at the top, a hypocrite is what? Someone pretending to be something they are not. A hypocrite is someone pretending to be something they are not. And on your outline, that gets you started. It's interesting, the word began, it was a very positive word back in the Middle Ages. To be a hypocrite would be one who would talk and share. The problem is the evolution of the word to our day today, and it's not a good thing. And so you just see the evolution of different words. But a hypocrite is someone pretending to be something they are not. Simple, easy. Now, what did Jesus say about hypocrites? Okay, what I'm going to do is we're going to look at Matthew chapter 23. Now, if you can open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 23, and as soon as somebody with a blue Bible finds a page number for that, if you just call it out, Matthew 23, we're going to look at 13, 14, 15, 33, and 28. We're just going to look at a number of verses, and let's see what Jesus said. What does Jesus say about hypocrisy? 23:13. Listen to these words. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Are these nice words? No, they are very strong words. Some of the strongest words in the Bible that Jesus uttered towards the religious leaders, and he called them hypocrites. They were shutting the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. They were leading people away from God, and they should have been leading people closer to God. You yourselves do not enter. I would say probably these leaders don't even know the Lord. They are not saved. Look at verse 14, next verse. He goes at them again. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Therefore, you will be punished more severely. You hypocrites, you devour widows' houses. In other words, the widows in the land, they basically took over their assets and things like that. They were not honest. They were not forthright. You show and make lengthy prayers. In other words, these religious leaders would devour widows' households and then they'd stand in the square and say, "Oh God, I'm a great person. Thank you, God." I mean, that was the essence of it. It's how bad it was. He went after them big time. Look at verse 15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Ouch! Ouch! These are strong words, aren't they, that Jesus had for hypocrites. They had an external righteousness about them. Yes, we're righteous, we're God-fearing, we're good. They were out to please men rather than God. They had evil hearts. Jump with me from Matthew 23:15 to Matthew 23:33. Same chapter, just a few verses down. He goes after him again. Does he get nicer? No. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Saying, you guys are going to hell. You don't know God. You hypocrites. In the same way, to verse 28, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Bring smoke, take names. Does he go after them? Some of the strongest things you see in the Bible that Jesus says are concerning hypocrites. Now these individuals, based on these two verses here, I do not believe these are people that know the Lord. They're just leaders that don't know God. So I believe hypocrites can be people, in one sense, that don't even know God. They don't. They're just professing to do something, but they don't know God. They were unsaved. Just kind of some interesting thoughts about that. All right. If we can agree then that hypocrites could be unsaved people, people that do not know God, could hypocrites be saved people? Yes, unfortunately so. All right. Couple of references here. Let me see where I'm at here. All right. All right, Val, 1 Peter 2:1. What page is that on? 857 in the Blue Bible. 1 Peter 2:1, and let's see what that verse has to say. It says this, and it's talking about us as believers. It says this, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, deceit, then the H word, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So as believers, we are to put aside these qualities in our life. And what's in the middle of the list? Hypocrisy. 1 Peter 2:1, a believer can engage in hypocrisy. Okay, Galatians 2:13. Edna, what page was that on? 8:24 in your Bible. 8:24 in your Blue Bible. What we're doing is just looking at the fact, does the Bible teach that a believer can be a hypocrite? Galatians 2:13 says this, and this has to do with a report. And it says this, the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Barnabas was one of the church leaders, a man that knew God, and because of what they were doing, and here's what was going on, in that day, They had an issue when a non-Jew became a believer. They wanted to circumcise them. That's what's going on here in Galatians. They wanted to make them follow a whole bunch of rules and regulations. We do the same thing today in some churches. Well, if you accept Christ, you can only dress this way, you can only wear makeup or not wear makeup. The list is unbelievable. We do the same thing today. They just were involved in this difficult question of circumcision. And the problem was Barnabas was even drawn into this and was led astray by their hypocrisy. Can a believer practice hypocrisy? Absolutely. And I think we, as God's people, know that. In my heart, I know that, and you know that in your heart. We can practice hypocrisy. Pretending you are something that you're not. And we all struggle with this. The reality is the person that makes that statement, they're not far off the mark. Because if you look in any church, you will see a bunch of hypocrites, including myself and you, because in one sense we are. Because we're not perfect. Being in church doesn't save you. We know that. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ saves you. The reality is Christians are not perfect. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
We are not perfect. Boy, do we all know that. We are forgiven, and we should be growing in our faith. We are forgiven, and we should be growing in our faith. It's interesting. I love this passage. George, Romans 7, 19 and 20, what page? 800 in your blue Bibles. This is such a good reference. This is the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote most of the New Testament. And he tells us that he struggles in his walk with God to stay away from sin, to stay pure and to stay holy. Romans 7, 19 and 20 says this. Paul says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." In other words, I keep doing the evil. I want to do good. I struggle with it, but I keep doing evil. I keep sinning against God. This did not give him a license to sin, but he just struggled with this. And it is a struggle that we have. Now, verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." In other words, he admitted. As a believer, and was Paul a strong believer? Yes, he was a very strong believer. But the sin living within him and living within us leads us astray, our sin nature. So the reality is we're going to struggle with this one. It is not a license to sin. That's not what that verse is about. He's just talking about the honest struggle that Christians have to lead a life that honors God. And we all struggle in this area. Amen? We do. All right, now, let's go on to your outline again. A biblical perspective now. A biblical perspective. We're right in the middle of the outline. And what we're going to do is I'm going to make a couple of statements here and finish with a couple of illustrations that I hope will be helpful to you. A biblical perspective. Number one, or the first thing, is Christ is perfect. Christ is perfect. Edwina Close, 1 Peter 2:22 in the Blue Bible, if you would, please. Let's see. Who else would like to? Cheryl, could you do 1 John 3:5? These are verses that are coming, and I'm just trying to get the pages. Christ is perfect. This is a biblical perspective now. Now let's back up. We know that as believers we will struggle with hypocrisy. Both unbelievers and believers will. Now, how do we come at that? How do we deal with it? Okay, number one then is Christ is perfect. Edwina, what page is 1 Peter 2:22 on? Okay, page 858 in your Bible, in your blue Bible, provided, and it says this: Christ is perfect. He committed. I'll tell you what, let's try doing this. 1 Peter 2:22, let's read it together. This should be fun. All right. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. What does that first statement say? He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. What does that first statement say? Christ committed no sin. No sin at all. Okay, 1 John 3:5. 863. 1 John 3:5. And what we're establishing here is that Christ is perfect. Read 1 John 3:5 with me. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. All right, so the first thing we're going to say is that Christ is the only one that is perfect. The only hypocrite, the only person that was not a hypocrite was Jesus Christ, because he was perfect, and in him is no sin. It's the reality of knowing about our Lord and Savior. He was perfect, and he perfectly forgave us. All right? Second statement here. Christians are not perfect. Oh, you guys knew that one. I didn't even have to help you with that one. Okay, Psalm 51:4, the whole book of Psalm, the whole chapter of Psalm 51, we'll talk just briefly about, but Christians are not perfect. Psalm 51 is a psalm of who? It's David. David, as a believer, he had faith in Jesus Christ. He made a big mistake in God. He committed adultery. He killed somebody. They just one right off, right over another. And yet in Psalm 51 and verse 4, we just need this verse in here. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. I'm a sinner, David's saying. I blew it. I have done evil in your sight. Christians are not perfect. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, does the Bible try and present people as perfect? How many people can we go through in the Bible that were good men and women, but they sinned? You think of David. Absolutely. Think of Moses. Noah. I mean, Peter. Paul. The Bible does not try and cover these people up and just present them as perfect people. It never attempts to do that. It does not do that. They were sinners. All right. Once we establish the fact that Christ is perfect, that you and I are not, let's go to a therefore. Let's transition. And therefore, hypocrites, that's number one, do not disprove Christianity. Hypocrites do not disprove Christianity. The claims we make as Christians are this: Jesus Christ is perfect. I am a sinner. Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's all you and I can do. We are not perfect. We will not be perfect until we are with Him in heaven. You will have a new nature. I will have a new nature then in heaven. Until then, we're going to struggle with sin. And it is a battle, as Paul talks about it being a battle. Hypocrites do not disprove Christianity. The reality is we are sinners. And we are forgiven sinners. Second thought. Number two. Hypocrites indicate Christianity is valid. Hypocrites indicate... On number two, hypocrites indicate Christianity is valid. The reality is, Christianity is something worth imitating. It is something worth following. It gives us purpose and meaning to our life. we want to follow what Jesus Christ said. We want to live our lives in that way. Let me ask you something. When counterfeiters counterfeit money, they don't counterfeit lunch bags or use that. Why would they do that? Counterfeiters counterfeit the real thing. They counterfeit $20 bills, as they're doing today in our society. I was given a $20 bill at the bank. She handed it to me and said, you know what, these are brand new, but they're being counterfeited. Because people are trying to counterfeit the real thing, the $20 bill. People don't counterfeit things that aren't real, that aren't legitimate, that aren't worth having. Do they? Think about that. You and I don't want to counterfeit things that have no meaning, no purpose, no nothing. We are trying to follow Jesus Christ. We're doing our best because He is the real thing. He is the answer. So we're trying to follow Him, and we come up short when we do that. The biggest, probably one of the biggest things that can be said about Christianity is that people have changed lives. That is one of the biggest draws that said, this is worth following. This is worth pursuing. This is worth giving my life to, because I see people with changed lives. And their testimony is valid. And their testimony is important. And I want to follow that person or follow what that person is doing in following Jesus Christ. So I would say this, don't let hypocrites keep you from trusting Christ. I don't think you have anyway. But don't. You can use that excuse. And some people use it as just an excuse never to go to church. And you know what? In one sense, you could say to them, you're right. Because none of us is perfect. I am not perfect, and this person I'm talking about, they are not perfect. But we are trying to follow Jesus Christ, His Word, His teaching, and that is perfect. And we're going to fall short. Hypocrites, hypocrisy is an excuse, not a reason. Let me ask you something along the same lines. Are there bad doctors? Now, the fact that you and I know there are bad doctors, does that keep you from going to a doctor? Okay. Think about that. They're bad doctors. But it doesn't keep you from going to the doctor. It doesn't keep me from going to the doctor. Oh, man. There are forgeries in the art world. Does that keep you from ever buying an original? No, it wouldn't keep you from ever buying an original. Just because there's forgeries. You want the real thing. The reality is, people who have trusted Christ, trying to walk with Him, trying to follow His Word, trying to do what it says, are going to fall short. And somebody can come up and say, you're a hypocrite. They can. But, on the other side, you could say, you're right, but this is worth giving my life to. Jesus Christ is perfect. I am not perfect. He died for my sins, and I'm going to follow Him to the best of my ability. Come join me as we do that. Interesting thoughts. Hypocrisy. Interesting study. Jesus spoke strongly against it, both to unbelievers and to believers. My encouragement to you is to walk to the best of your ability, close to God, recognizing you're going to come up short at times. When you do, confess and keep going. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for this subject that touches our hearts. Thank you that we all know in this room, every one of us in one sense, is a hypocrite. Lord, thank you that more than that, though, there is forgiveness in you. Thank you that you lived a perfect life. You were the perfect sacrifice for sin. That is why you died. There was no sin found in you. When you died, then, you opened the door for us to receive you as Savior, be forgiven of our sin, and to walk in a way that would honor you to the best of our ability. Help me, Lord, help every person in this room to walk to the best of our ability with your Spirit guiding and directing in a way that would honor you. Lord, thank you that we can look at this. Thank you for your words. Thank you that we can give, and we do that grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.